was a teenage wedding, and the old folks wished him well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell.
C'est la vie, c'est this is what you should wake up to on Sunday morning.
Chuck Berry, Bob Belts, Bo Mitchell, and our guest Julie.
Yeah, this is actually a song picked by Julie, so we like it.
She can't be old enough to have ever heard a Chuck Berry song.
I think her grandfather that we went to school with told her about him.
How do you know Chuck Berry?
You know, everybody should know a little Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry was one of the originals. How did he write those lyrics? Johnny Be Good, maybe. Was that his first song, I wonder? Guy's brilliant. Well, this is You Get the Blessing, and we are talking mostly about Chuck Berry here at the start of the show today. This program, hopefully you get blessed every week listening to as you meet guests that that we know and are proud to introduce you to, just so you can hear what they're doing and how they're doing it so well. We also bless you by sharing with you that we are part of a furniture giveaway, and our the president of our organization, Susie Hayes, heads that up, and recently we gave away 10 housefuls of furniture to folks in the city that deserve a break, and they sure were happy when that furniture showed up. Can you imagine that, Bob?
It's just awesome. It's kind of like our miniature version of Extreme Home Makeover. But
that's where it came from, watching that show and thinking to myself, we don't have time or money to build the whole house, but we can furnish it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Jack LaPietra totally awesome. And his wife, Kellyn, helped us find the folks that really needed that. But thanks for you all helping us, too, get that done.
Where's Jack's church at? Because somebody might be listening, and they live on that side of town. And I know it's up kind of...
Wadsworth to, like, I want to say 14th, and then a little bit west to Ammons.
Okay. New Life in Christ.
New Life in Christ Church. Jack LaPietra, he is a...
They're making a big difference in their neighborhood, too.
Yeah, he's a tough, two-fisted... Bible-packing, sin-hating, blood-bought, born-again, sweetheart of a Christian leader. So, yeah. Good
Chuck
man.
Chuck Berry, did he do that song, too? Was that a
Chuck
lyric?
Berry, yeah, on the other hand. Yeah. I'm not sure.
All right. Hey, we got a great guest today, too, for folks. And could I introduce her?
Please do. All right. I think she is one of the great ladies I know.
She is. Very smart and great personality. My wife probably doesn't care if I say extremely attractive woman.
Well spoken. Yeah, she's about the age of our granddaughters?
I think so. Yeah.
So we can say it.
And a good friend. We were talking about that we wanted to do something on kind of kids. How do you help kids grow spiritually? And of course my first thought was, well, Julie Thielander knows about it because she's the director of Christian Ed at Highline, for one thing, among others. And so...
A mother.
And a great, just fun, a fun person. And we thought it'd be fun to have Julie on the show. Julie, welcome to You Get the Blessing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we wouldn't have thought of Chuck Berry, so there you go.
All right.
I'm glad to know that about you, Julie. You got range, girl.
Yeah.
And Chuck Berry included.
Tell us a little bit about you. Kind of, and we like to do that, a little bit of your background growing up and maybe a little bit of your faith journey. And, of course, you have kids, so we're not simply talking theoretically here because you're in process, I know, of trying to build into their lives. So, but where'd you grow up and what was life like around your home?
Well, I grew up in the town of Moving Around. My father worked for the federal government. He was an FBI agent for 30 years. And his job required that we move on average every 3 years.
Do Bo and I know him, by the way? Because we know a lot of FBI agents. So,
not quite as funny as it may sound.
All right, moving on. No, okay. So did you land anywhere?
You know, the largest part of my elementary school years were in Michigan. We were just outside of Detroit and loved living there. But I can tell you that probably the biggest piece of consistency in my life across all these different places was church. And I became a believer at the age of 4. I went to a Christian preschool. And, you know, I just think that kids have such a lower barrier. you know, they don't get walls built up about what can be true and what can't. And the faith of a child, it just comes so naturally and so easily. And I was lucky to be in a place where I was encouraged in my faith by my mother and my extended family as well. So when our preschool graduation happened, my little preschool teacher, Mrs. Ross, gave each one of us a book that was a very simple explanation of the gospel, what Jesus had done. And I believed it. And that's all I can tell you. Mm. And ever since, I've been up and down in my faith journey. But on balance, I can't imagine this life without Christ.
So I absolutely think this is insane. But I had the same thing moving around because my dad was a baseball player. But I went to 10 different schools from K through 12. So my anchor, fortunately, was athletics, and I'd make friends and be on teams and survive always being the new kid. You're saying your anchor was church.
Yeah, it really was. And I was very blessed to have a number of very consistent Sunday school teachers and friends. And I think it's hard to grow up, especially when we get to the middle school and high school years, being a Christian in public schools and always the new kid. It really helped to be in a community of faith where you knew that the people around you were walking the same walk and having the same struggles. And even when we fell down as individuals, you know, there were people around you to help pick you back up and dust you off and get you back on the right path.
So not always perfect, but always a group or someone to go back to that would say, okay, let's shift her back over here where we were.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the biggest blessings of my life was to know that there was both give and take in that. You know, for a lot of years, I was so solid and really involved in all the youth group and campus life activities and all the fun stuff that really grew me a lot in Christ. But also then when I had my own struggles, that others were able to step in and help me. And I love that.
Well, please.
So where'd you meet Eric?
I met him at Grove City College, which is a Christian liberal arts college just north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he was a year ahead of me. And we did not get married right out of college. He went on to graduate school. So when he finished graduate school, we got married and immediately relocated to Miami, Florida. So in my adult life, I continued to move around. But now we're here in Denver, Colorado forever. We love it here.
Good,
this is
good.
Our home.
We don't want you moving around. No. And of course, as we said earlier, you have kids of your own now.
I sure do. I've got Weston, who's 6, and Jonas, who is 4, just turned 4.
They're great kids. I've seen them running around the church completely out of control. No, just kidding.
Probably true.
So in spite of us painting this picture of you, like we see you as this angel, the reason we want you on the show is to talk to listeners about teaching kids about Christ, and I know whether it was athletics or academics or being smart and safe about all the other life issues that are coming at you as a kid. My mom and dad were not shy about pushing. They didn't just suggest. So we have listeners that are thinking, well, I'm being tastefully polite by not pushing any of this on my children, and I know my friend Bill McCartney, Promise Keepers, would say, what's polite about that? Meaning, we're supposed to do that, aren't we, as parents, give some pretty solid direction to our children?
Absolutely. I think that as a Christian, I believe that Jesus is the most important thing that I can offer to my kids. And the things that I've learned in my life are things that I've learned, but not just for selfish reasons, so that I can pass them on. And when opportunities present themselves in the course of life, they have a problem with a friend or a problem at school, we try to make an honest conversation about how would Jesus look at this, or they hear terms they don't understand. We can look them up in the Bible. My son asked me about grace. That was a humbling day. Mm. I didn't have a real good answer for him when he was 3 and asking me, Mommy, what is grace? I heard the word grace. And so I said, well, let's look it up. And
That's why we have Bob, by the way.
Just you know, I wish I'd known Bob then.
Yeah. Well, four definitions. But so looking for teachable moments. Yeah. That would be one thing you're saying, is how to teach your kids about Jesus.
Definitely true. Also, we do in our Sunday school program at Highline, but not something that I came up with on my own, but a scripture memory program I think is really important. It doesn't have to be anything really formal, but things that are important to you, things that you've learned from the Bible, you can share with your kids and encourage them to memorize it. You know, the
Let's hear a couple from your highlight reel.
You know, Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
It's a great one. Yeah.
You know, that's an important one. And Jeremiah 29:11-13 is really foundational for me. God knows the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Plans to give us hope and a future. And when we come to him and seek him earnestly, we'll find him. He listens to us when we pray. And those are all things that are a part of that passage of scripture as well.
So if not mom and dad, who? I mean, folks, if you got kids, this is a calling on your life to instruct your kids in these ways. Live first, which is called walking. Walk in your faith, but then turn up the volume. Talk, explain, teach. Look for those teachable moments. So I know in our lives, I can remember this great moment with Ashley when she was a little girl walking in a mall somewhere and thinking, you know, when do I have to engage in the sex talk thing? And there was this young gal walking towards us pushing a baby carriage. And I said to Ashley, do you think that is the baby's mom, or is that a babysitter? And she looked at me like, why are you bringing this up now? And she kind of quietly said, mom. And I said, so do you know how you get to have a baby when you're a little girl like that little mom? And she said, yes. And I don't want to talk about it with you, but it looked like a teachable visual moment to me. And do you look for moments like that all the time as mom?
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the hardest parts of life, I think, are some of the best teachable moments. You know, when kids encounter things like death, which happens in all of our families and in all of our lives, is a great time to talk about Jesus and why we as believers don't have to be afraid of death. And the reasons behind that, there's so much that kids face day to day. They deal with friends, and they deal with lying, and they deal with rumors, and they deal with encouragement on the positive side. You know, just all those things are things that the Bible has a lot to say about.
You know, one statistic that we always hear that's a little bit mind-boggling is that, you know, something like 85% of people come to faith really as children before the age of 18 or something like that. It's funny to me because that wasn't my case. You know, I was an adult, and most of my friends seem to be, but there is that like you were saying, openness during those ages. Now, the other thing, let's talk about this for a minute, because the other thing I hear so often is somebody that had it kind of shoved down their throat a little bit, maybe as a kid and or in church, and got turned off or whatever. And I think that part of what I see in the way that, you know, you operate at Highline, we try and operate, is that kids, you know, they learn and they really are taught about God and about spirituality, but they're really having a lot of fun, you know, doing it. I mean, I've now got a little, you know, granddaughter, Olivia, 3 years old. She comes out of Sunday school. She comes running, you know, up to the front to see me after the service or something. And I always ask her, so how was Sunday school? You know, she, oh, fun. It was fun. So, I mean, you know, there's a way to make all of this more palatable so that, you know, again, and I think you do a good job of that. What are some ideas, you know, around that for, you know, parents that, you know, maybe they've had it shoved down their throat and they don't want to do that to their kids?
Sure. Well, I think some of the things that make it fun are just engaging kids where they are and what they're interested in, what they want to talk about and talk about it from a spiritual perspective. I think it's really fun to talk about nature and the way God's made the world. And we live in such a beautiful place where we have a chance to experience God in, I think, a very unique way. And that's one way that I think makes spirituality and Christianity fun. Another thing is just fun songs. Vacation Bible School is a really fun thing.
You've just finished a week of that.
Yes.
And It's great to, again, see kids having a total blast and yet learning, you know, about God's love, you know.
Yeah, I think that there are ways that we can take things to the kids' level and make it very personal for them. And I think when they see how relevant God is in their daily life and who Jesus is as a person, makes it much more accessible to them. I think that when God is remote, they're not that engaged and not that interested, and that's the background that a lot of people come from.
You know, Christ, reading the scripture, I don't know what all he was doing. I'm sure he wasn't playing Chuck Berry music, but maybe something that was culturally more of a fit in those days. But people were drawn to him. It's not like he was repelling people. People were pulled to him, and all those hours with the disciples that he was training and the apostles, I mean, they had to be having some fun along the way, wouldn't you say?
Well, there's a great passage of scripture that, you know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, there are these little pictures that are prophetic that were pointing ahead to what, you know, the Messiah was going to be like, which were fulfilled in Christ. But one of them said that of the Messiah that was coming, who Jesus fulfilled, was that that God had anointed him with the oil of gladness above all his companions. And my sense has always been that probably Jesus was the most joyful person that ever walked the planet. Now, it's interesting because people were attracted to him, and yet another one of those Old Testament prophecies said that he had no form nor comeliness that we should be attracted to him. Basically, what it was saying is there was nothing physical that would attract people. He was just a very average-looking guy, but somehow that joy that he had, I really think that's what the magnet was for people to come to him.
I think it's one reason we're so close as friends is some people would say squirrely, some people would say eccentric. I think we know exactly what we're doing, but if it's not fun, interesting, upbeat, I sort of don't want to do it. I mean, yeah. If you're bringing negative energy in the room, it's not going to do much for me. So, I believe a young life leader wrote a book a long time ago entitled "It's a Sin to Bore a Kid."
Yeah, that was actually kind of their motto. You know, when they started Young Life, that they felt like whatever they did in introducing Christ, he's the most dynamic, exciting, you know, person in all human history, and if you manage to dull that down, you know, you've blown it. And I love that motto, by the way, and I think that's true. I think it's not only true sin to bore a kid with Christ, it's a sin to bore anybody with Christ, because again, it's an exciting adventure. And I appreciate that, by the way, about Julie, and also, you know, you got a great team. Goodness gracious, you know, the three of you are this dynamic trio at Highline. But you know, again, you're making it fun for kids and helping them understand that Jesus, you know, it's not a religious thing. It's about a relationship with a real person, and he's awesome. So
exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get it, folks, sorry, maybe you'll get it if you'll expose yourself to it. But expose your kids to the truth, the authority of the scripture, the joy that comes from actually being connected to the person that created us. What else should a mom or dad be thinking about, Julie, just by way of advice, how to teach your kids about Jesus? Any other little specifics you could give them?
Well, I think that parents need to realize that they are maybe the first glimpse that children get of what a relationship is like with an authority figure. And the way that they love their kids can really affect the way that kids look at how they can love God and be loved by God. And so as adults, we need to be real sensitive to that. And when we have the chance to interact with kids, let's, you know, love them with Christ's love. Kids are always looking for boundaries and consistency, and God gives us that. He gives us a lot of freedom, but he also gives us boundaries and consistency. And I think those things are essential to great parenting and also to spiritual leadership.
So boundaries free up in the sense that, in my case, a lot of fun, a lot of freewheeling, but I also knew step past that line and watch what your dad does next, because you're not going to like it.
That's right. I laugh when I think about, you know, the idea that time out is some kind of new thing. But I look at the way God treats the Israelites and I think, oh, God's the original author of time out. You know, you give me some bad attitude and you can go wander in that desert and I'll talk to you in about 40 years.
My wife teaches and has taught since the day our kids were born. You're free to choose. You're not free to choose the consequences. And I can remember standing on the fence of my home for some reason, mad at my sixth grade girlfriend, Susan Reedy in Oklahoma City, and thinking her parents were gone and standing on the fence between our houses. I think I've shared this on the program before, saying, you stink, your sister Paula stinks, everyone in the neighborhood wishes you'd move away. Y'all are ugly, strange people. No one likes you, especially me.
And this was your girlfriend. You were saying this
my
too.
My best friend, yeah, my buddy, yeah. My girlfriend. And her mother was standing inside their home listening to this all day. Well, I remember the consequences today, like it's as clear as this mic in front of my face. When my mother got home and heard this from Mrs. Reedy, we were next door, and she not only made me apologize, she made me go through exactly one at a time everything I'd said, so held me accountable and makes me as an adult think, you know, don't say it if it's not right, if it's hurtful, and if you're gonna stand there and have to cry and apologize. But
that was good parenting.
Yeah,
I think so too. And there are people that don't want to spank their kids or discipline their kids or set that boundary, but it's not the right thing to do. You got to be the tough guy sometimes.
Kids seek boundaries. So if the boundary isn't, you know, if you were a shepherd and you were guarding your flock of sheep, you wouldn't build your fence on the edge of the cliff so that if the sheep got out, they would fall off the edge of the cliff and die immediately.
That is a great word picture.
You would set your fence back 10 or 15 feet. So just in case one of those sheep got a little bit ambitious and decided to get out, there would be some grace before there was a big fall.
That's really good. So every organization is a direct reflection of its leadership for good or for bad. You set the tone at Highline. If folks, you do need help and Sunday morning you're looking for a place to go, come throw your kids Julie's way and watch what Julie and her staff do in terms of just, let's say, primarily loving them, whatever that may look like on any given day.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great point in life. I think we know that you know, sometimes, you know, folks have gotten disconnected and you know, from their faith, or at least from, you know, being a part of any kind of a fellowship. And then when you have kids, you really start thinking about this again. So again, if you're out there and you're listening, and you know, and you're not a part of a faith community, but you want your kids to, you know, to understand and to grow in these things, this is a great time to get back and to find a good church. And to, you know, it's funny because I know that Sunday school was really invented for kids whose parents didn't go to church. I mean, that was the original intention, but it's a tremendous tool to help parents in this process. And, you know, what would you say to encourage people to get their kids engaged in some kind of a Sunday school program?
Well, I think that more that you can build bridges across schools and neighborhoods and sports teams into a group of like-minded people who are trying to build character in their kids and trying to teach them the difference between right and wrong, it really helps to have peer relationships that encourage kids to do the right things and to also, as it was true in my life, to help each other through those hard times, to learn how to pray together and look for ways that God answers prayer is really powerful, and we do that on a weekly basis. I would say that we're there to support and encourage families, equip parents, and also to teach kids. So it's really meant to be an hour where kids get really built up and encouraged, but then we send them home to be with families, and we want to equip and build up those families as well.
Great.
So someone's listening that thinks, I've blown it, I'm a lousy parent, I lose my temper, I raise my voice, and I have an expression of disgust with my kids, I would say, shouldn't we tell those folks, hey, forgive yourself. God forgives you. No one said the target here is perfection, because they're going to make you nuts from time to time.
That's right. I fall into every one of those categories, maybe on a daily, if not weekly basis. So
we know that insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids. That's right. So
that's right.
So forgive yourself, y'all, and just keep trying. Yeah. I mean, that's all we can do. I promise you, nobody's messed it up more than Bob. No, more than
this is true.
More than the two of us. But that's the fun part, is get back up, yep, go again, and just be all you can be as moms and dads and mommies and daddies. And Julie, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for being the director of all of the stuff that we do with our kids, too.
Well, thanks for the privilege.
We'll have you back again, because I know you got more wisdom to share, but that was wonderful. So, listeners, hope you're blessed by this, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. You know how to look us up on YouGetTheBlessing.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you're thinking. If you have any guests you'd like to suggest, fire that our way. And those of you that have done that, we appreciate it. And we don't know you, but we love you, and we'll see you again next week.
Let's go to church. Let's go.
Let's do it. All 10 right. o'clock, Highline. Love you guys.
They furnished off an apartment with a two-room robot safe. Found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, c'est vie.